You're interviewing with...
Wait, okay, the tape's on. I'm going to try to remember where we were for us and that. I mean, I think you were discussing a situation where the tensions were growing and where the pressure was on, but you'd also gone by way of talking about the people were giving the opportunities to the wrong people to take to answer these questions and, or solve the problem. You
know, yeah, and suddenly, or maybe not very suddenly, the society in Lebanon was, you know, run pretty much by those warlords. And sort of that set the forces backwards, and then the pressure was on everybody to, you know, basically, willingly or not, to belong to one group or the other. Definitely for Lebanese, it was so, so much so. You know, if you're a Maronite and you didn't support your Maronite warlord, you'd be in trouble. And definitely for the Druze and whatever, the same thing. I think people in Ras Beirut were still much more protected from those, just because, again, daily interactions with other people, different backgrounds and whatnot. My personal involvement is, I mean, I was always interested in Palestinian nationalism and sort of, I always felt, you know, the injustice to the Palestinian people, especially people in the refugee camps. I mean, I always considered myself lucky in having a lot of options, but obviously people in the camps were victims of almost everybody. Mm-hmm. And that was obviously panned out with time in terms of, you know, they got beaten by the Israelis, by the Lebanese Christians, by the Lebanese Muslims, by the Syrians. I mean, everybody who said that was their enemy beat up on them. Everybody who said was their friend beat up on them.
And the massacres finally.
And the massacres, yeah.
That absolutely nobody had their interests
so
that hard. Or
yeah, so I always felt those were sort of helpless victims. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of my sense of civic or responsibility. I think I put it more as civic responsibility rather than political responsibility.
Do you find the same criticisms you have for, let's say, the different Lebanese groups, which obviously have outside, clearly outside influences as well, and actually rely on them, mm-hmm. the Syrians, the Iranians, in the case of the Maronites, and, you know, it's God knows it's a different group of the Israelis at one point, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That everyone's using this as, again, the people who are supposedly representing certain Lebanese groups are using it for their own furtherance of their own power, but also the foreign or outside are using it for their influence within a situation. Do you see that there's something like the PLO and as also kind of outside inside, or do you see that as having some sort of more civic, let's say, and less political approach to
both? Definitely the PLO was as much shattered by outside influence as anything else. I mean, the PLO, you know, the way I look at the Lebanese conflict, again, just to sort of to put things in context, is that there are many tiers to this conflict. There's the age-old conflict between Lebanese Druze and Lebanese Maronites who lived in the mountains. Then there's the more general Lebanese conflict between the different sects, and, you know, the Shiites trying to aspire mostly for a bigger share of government since they were mostly cut out of that. And then the Maronites, and to a lesser extent the Sunnis, trying to prevent that. But then the regional conflict, you know, Syria and Israel playing their own war games and tug of war basically through the Lebanese factions, definitely feeding a lot that conflict. And then the more global conflict between the Soviet Union and the U.S. and sort of polarizing that even further. And I think that global context was a necessity for the regional context, was which a necessity for the Lebanese conflict. I mean, it's now it wouldn't have been possible for Syria and Israel to play those games if they were not selling themselves as subserving the interests of the U.S. and USSR respectively. And definitely the Lebanese people wouldn't have been as well armed and financed if you know, they didn't get money from Saudi Arabia and Syria and Israel and Egypt. I think everybody around there gave, you know, arms and supplies, and Iraq and Iran. Yeah, I mean, the whole region was engaged, and it was a pitiful game, because the language of that political game was naked violence. That was the language. I mean, literally, meaning that you could send a message by blowing up a car. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the level of communication. I mean, it's not a hyperbole here.
No, it
was blowing up a car in the middle of a market just to tell the leader of whoever controls that region, hey, we got to you today and you weren't towing the line yesterday. I mean,
perhaps in Northern Ireland, between the British and the IRA.
Although there the messages are much more clear-cut, that, you know, hey, we hate your guts, you hate our guts, and we're going to blow you up until you do something. Yeah. There, I mean, it was even...
Okay.
Instead of sort of France sending a message to Germany, you know, we don't like your interest rates, Hafez Assad could send a message to the Maronites one day or the other people the other day, we didn't like what you said yesterday, and blow up a car. Mm. It was that level. The worst part about it is the people. I mean, we could never interpret those messages. You know, we would see it as random violence, but we knew it wasn't random, that someone had planted that car for a reason, and yet you knew that whoever received that message knew exactly what the message was. It was a very, very sick game being played with human lives. Just to jump back to later years when I was a resident and, you know, in the hospital, I mean, you get a bomb, or either an Israeli attack or a Syrian bomb, or whoever planted a bomb somewhere, you get 200 casualties in half an hour. I mean, it was horrible. It was really horrible. So the pressure was there to... So the PLO was both. And the other side, going back to your question, the PLO was obviously rampant with all these levels of conflict. I mean, one faction going for the USSR, the other aligning with the Saudis so that they can align with the West, and, you know, all kinds of things. But it did represent, and I think it still does, although I'm not much now in direct, you know, in the situation, in the middle of it. I definitely, when I was in Beirut, PLO did represent sort of the national aspiration of the Palestinian people. It did command their civic duties. I mean, meaning that if you were a Palestinian engineer and you wanted to do something about Palestinian refugee camps, and you would go through that and do it. So it did command not only the political and nationalistic, but also the civic.
And that's, again, I think where we started going.
Yes,
came from on this.
Yeah,
you're talking about your direct sort of.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously, at a personal level, I would engage in whatever political discussions are going on, trying to probe why we think one way or the other. Those, you know, almost invariably, those were fruitless discussions. And towards the end, I got very disenchanted with the whole system. The whole social structure basically became very disappointing, that would allow this kind of nonsense going on and on. Beyond that, in terms of political activism, I was on and off involved in, I don't know how to describe it, nothing significant basically, but... I would always see, you know, if there are ways to help, you know, if there was during 80, let me give you examples, during 80, no, not 80, 79, when Israel attacked southern Lebanon and there was, you know, major displacement of Shiites and some Palestinians, I was very engaged in collecting things and blankets and food and whatnot.
You're just either graduating from your undergrad, or you're just going into medical school, right? If you finished in 83,
I was early in medical, it was right because 83
is actually when you finished your residency as well.
Yeah, so I was in medical school. So it must have been 78. I forget the year.
Medical school.
78 or 79 when the invasion of southern Lebanon was. That was, you know, one time I remember vividly because, you know, we stayed engaged for many weeks on end. We set up a clinic to cater for those people. That would be the most sort of vigorous memory I have of that.
Really are talking about again. I think your distinction is much better than anything I could have come up with. The civic versus the, I mean, really the political. Whereas that doesn't mean it's not got political ramifications. But was to, you know, again with Shiites as well as Palestinians, and that wasn't an issue for you. It wasn't simply okay, which of you are Palestinian? I'll help you. And
I mean, I was very disenchanted with the political structure, even of the PLO. I mean, even if I wanted to express my political nationalistic activism, which I would have liked to, you know, I would have liked to see Palestinian, the, you know, be, you know, improve their human condition. But the PLO was not the structure for me to express that, because I could just see it like another mess of things where, you know, you couldn't develop something, you know, you couldn't develop a healthy infrastructure. You know, where again, you know, and I did have some encounters with people from the PLO or other militias or whatnot. And, you know, immediately the first thing that comes across is that, you know, those people, you don't want to be dealing with those people. You know, it's, and you could, you know, you could get tricked into doing that, I think, if you develop sufficient hatred, let's say, against another sect, say, hey, I want to do to them what they did to us. I guess once you start playing the game of us and them and whatnot, you could get easily involved in that kind of, but if you're thinking more long term, you know, how can you make, you know, the whole Middle East a more peaceful and healthier and productive area of the world? You know, the minute you see those people, whether they're nominally on your side or not, you say, those are not the people I really want to interact with. You know, they were not selected because they were popularly elected. They were not selected because they were doers. They were, in terms of doing good to the population or achievers, they were selected because they could do the dirty work. Now, that's not the way to solve the problem. So that, I guess that was pretty much the extent of my political activity.
I think that since I thought you did have a baby, you have the luxury of putting it off until whenever you want, but maybe perhaps we should.
No, I should, because I have, okay. I mean, we have that room scheduled for 4:30
tomorrow.